Red Dwarf Series 6 Episode 5 Rumor World. In this episode, our friends are desperate for food and supplies. They send Rumor through a hole, making him go into the future 600 years. In those 600 years, he has been living on a planet of his own and created an unkind population. Since they are unkind, they do not like people like Lister, Crichton, and Cat. What will they do to them? Is this the last episode where our friends are alive? Come aboard and find out. Starbuck Flippist. Starbuck Medical Lab.
Is pressing buttons on a control panel while Rumor lies on a bench. Well, that's finished the test, sir. We just have to wait while the Navicom processes the results. Unfortunately, I have had to allow for the fact that you cheated at your eye tests.
What do you mean, cheated?
There's no point in lying, sir. You crept in here last night, knowing you were going to have a medical, and you copied the eye charts onto your shoes.
I admit I might have taken a peek, but I'm a competitive man, Crichton, always have been. That's what makes me what I am.
We're all perfectly well aware of what you are, sir. Oh, the results.
Ah, everything take a dip.
Would you like to take a seat for a moment, sir?
Problem.
You don't have any next of kin, do you, sir?
No, they all died of heart attacks. And not just heart attacks, aneurysms, strokes, brain clots, you name it.
Are you of the school that, when faced with bad news, prefers to hear that news naked and unvarnished, or are you of the ilk that prefers to live in happy and blissful ignorance of the nightmare you're facing?
Ignorance, every time.
Congratulations, sir. You've come storming through your medical with flying colors. See you next time.
Everything's okay then.
Absolutely peachy.
I want to know, Crichton, if there's something wrong.
If there was something wrong, sir, I would tell you.
Even if I'd ask you not to?
Well, no. In that case, I would lie and tell you everything was absolutely peachy. I want to know, that's why I asked for a medical. Is there bad news? Lie mode cancel. Yes, sir, I'm afraid there is.
I knew it. It's the headaches, isn't it? And the heart palpitations and the blackouts and the chest pains and the voices. It's something to do with that, isn't it?
Sir, when you died you were recreated as a hologram and your exact personality was refined to an algorithm and duplicated electronically. If that algorithm contained a flaw, that flaw would be duplicated also.
Flaw?
It's not common, but it's possible for a hologram to die.
Kindly get to the point before I jam your nose between your cheeks and make it the filling of a bug sandwich.
As a result of both genetics and environment, you are particularly prone to stress-related nervous disorders, and your activities over the past couple of years have pushed your brain to, well, frankly, beyond breaking point. Your T count, which is the hologrammatic equivalent of blood pressure, is higher than a hippie on the third day of an open-air festival, and if you wish to avoid a gigantic electronic aneurysm, it is imperative that you start on a program of relaxation.
I see, and you thought that the best way for me to start this program of relaxation was to tell me my brains are about to explode. You've got the bedside manner of an abattoir giblet cutter.
Here's what I suggest. Try and avoid all stressful situations. Spend more time in your hard light form and take a little exercise. And here, try these Chinese worry balls whenever you feel anxious or tense. Looks.
Hey, maybe some good news. Come and check it out. Crichton, I don't want the others to know about this. I want you to behave as if everything's absolutely normal.
As you wish, sir.
Starbuck approaching Simulon ship. Starbuck cockpit.
There she blows.
Locking onto the Edent computer.
What's this?
We've come across the Simulon ship we battled a couple of weeks back. We're gonna try and board it for supplies.
Is that wise, sir? The scan says the superstructure is highly unstable and could go at any time.
What if some of the Simulons have survived?
There's an old cat saying, if you're gonna eat tuna, expect bones.
There's an old human saying, if you're gonna talk garbage, expect pain.
Look, we'll take our chances, man, okay?
Okay, they're cybernetically deranged mechanical killing machines. Not content with blasting their ship out of the sky, you now want to go back and steal what remains of their belongings. That's the metaphorical equivalent of flopping your webbing tackle into a lion's mouth and flicking his love's puds with a wet towel. Total insanity.
Look, ever since that refrigeration unit packed in, we've had to live off a few pathetic handfuls of moss and fungi scraped off passing asteroids. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, sir, are you really saying you'd rather have a psychopathic mechanical killer rip off your skull and play your frontal lobes like a xylophone and have another bowl of my nourishing space nettle soup?
Buddy, I'd hand him the sticks and hold up the sheet music.
Lister, they are simulants. Why on Io should they have food supplies?
Because the Edent computer says they do. Look, stock to the gills.
It's true, sir. Rogue simulants always carry large stocks of food supplies in order to prolong the torment of their torture victims. In some cases, they've kept subjects alive for over 40 years in a state of perpetual agony.
If we wanted to live in a state of perpetual agony, we'd let Lister play his guitar. We don't. I say drive on.
What's for dinner?
Tonight, sir, Asteroid Lichens 2 followed by Dandelion's Orbit.
We're going in.
Starbuck docking with Simulon ship. Midsection.
Sir, can't you see your behavior is totally irrational?
In which case we can remove him from duty as per Space Corps Directive 196156.
196156? Any officer caught sniffing the saddle of the exercise bicycle in the women's gym will be discharged without trial. I'm sorry, sir, that doesn't quite get to the nub of the matter for me. Sir, we have enough thistles and weeds and cultured fungus for you to scrum yourself stupid until the day you die. This foolhardy trip beggars logic.
Lister, we'd be fools not to listen to him. When is he ever wrong? Alright, he may have a head shaped like an inexplicably popular fishing float, but he does operate from a position of total logic and we'd be fools to ignore his sage counsel.
At least let me and Mr. Rimmer go in your place. We are after all merely electronic life forms and therefore expendable.
And what dismay would you know, Bogbot from hell?
There's something else. I didn't want to say in front of the cat. The reserve fuel tank got punctured when we crashed into the ocean moon. If we don't resupply, we're out of power, 2-3 days.
But what about the readouts?
I rigged the readouts. I didn't want to cause any alarm.
You rigged the readouts? You didn't want to cause any I can't breathe, I'm hyperventilating.
Please, sir, don't panic.
It's not panic, it's a full-blown hysterical fit.
Grind those balls, sir. Grind them.
So let me get this straight. If we board that ship and get captured, we're finished. However, if we board that ship and don't get captured, but the superstructure disintegrates around us, we're finished. On the other hand, if we board that ship and don't get captured and the superstructure doesn't disintegrate around us, but we can't find any fuel, we are in fact finished.
That's about the shape of it, yeah.
After you with the balls, sir.
Look, we're out of options. We've got less choice than a Welsh fish and chip shop. We've got to board that ship, even if it is on the brink of disintegration. Let's just pray the crew are rotting in Silicon Hell with all the photocopiers.
Look, you three go. I'm not leaving Starbuck.
Fine, that's fair enough. Unless of course something weird and hideously ironic happens, like while we were away you get boarded by a rampaging torture party of crazed simulants in a rapid grip of bloodlust fever.
I'll go and pack.
Bring your extra brown rubber safety pants. And your hard light remote belt, we need all the hands we can muster.
Simulon ship. Corridor of Simulon ship.
Life signs.
If one of those suckers bumps into me, he'll be lunching on laser. Last time we met I was wearing the same outfit, and no one's gonna survive to tell that story.
Listen guys, I suppose now's as good as time as any to tell you.
Tell us what?
We can't actually use the bazookoids. They're for psychological reasons only. Look, the scan said that the superstructure is so unstable that even a load noise could start a ship quick. That's why I skipped Chili's for breakfast. Why are you all looking at me like that?
Like what?
Like I'm a nostril hair in a Spanish omelet.
Why didn't you tell us?
Didn't want to cause any panic.
You didn't want to cause any pee, let me get this clear in my head. If we meet one of these totally deranged killing machines, we have to engage them in combat silently. What do? Whisper charge, tiptoe up to them all screaming SHHH and chloroform them with Lister's armpits. Priceless.
Another corridor. The crew move carefully along in the order Lister, Crichton, Cat and Rimmer.
A teleporter.
Fully functional.
Let's grab what we can and load up.
Quietly.
We see Lister and Cat loading the teleporter and a variety of crates materializing in Starbuck's midsection. They drop a crate, worried faces as the noise echoes throughout the ship.
It's not gonna hold much longer, sir. We'd better make this the last batch.
One more trip.
Let me get one more crate of that red hot West Indian red pepper sauce.
In the background, the female simulant from Gunman of the Apocalypse lurches through a doorway, causing more rumbling from the ship's hull. She doesn't appear to be in very good shape.
Well, if it isn't my old friends, the human vermin, the scab of slime, the pus-sucking, puke-laden walking cesspits of unspeakableness.
She remembers us.
Annihilated my ship, slaughtered my fellow simulants, and you practically destroyed me. Yes, I remember you.
There's one thing you should know. Last time we met I was wearing a cute little black number with peach trim and gold spangles, and although it looks like I'm wearing the same outfit today, it is in fact an entirely different cute little black number with completely different gold spangles.
That was an important speech, sir, and it needed to be made, but might I suggest that from this moment the rest of the discourse is conducted by those with brains larger than a grape.
Take it away, bud.
Okay, let's knock on the door and ask for Ronnie Real. This is a classic stalemate situation. You can't use your weapons and neither can we. Let's chalk this one down to experience and we'll be on our merry way, yeah. Actually, as far as psychotic deranged ruthless killer simulants go, you're a bit of a babe. What are you doing tonight?
Care to join me?
Behind the simulant, Rimmer can be seen. He has spotted an escape pod and is trying to sneak into it. Lister's words are aimed at Rimmer, not the simulant, who does not realize this. His words become more desperate as the conversation continues.
Hey, come on, let's just talk, okay? We didn't start any of this, and I think that maybe now is a good time to sit down and parlez. Let's not hang around, just get on with it.
There is nothing to discuss. In 60 seconds you'll be dead.
You can't be serious.
I'm totally serious.
I don't believe you're being serious.
I do not understand why you're having such problems grasping this concept. I'm a totally ruthless, immoral killing machine, so why, in the name of all that's putrid, don't you believe I'm serious?
I'm going to say this one more time. You've still got a chance to change your mind. Think about it, everything we've been through, does none of that mean anything to you? Rimmer launches the escape pod. The corridor collapses onto the simulant. Cheers, Rimmer. He's started the ship quick.
The superstructure is disintegrating.
The teleporter.
I must warn you, sir, the teleporter's not calibrated for human tissue. There's a 20% chance you'll be turned inside out when you materialize.
Let me check my lining. Innards and lavender, I can carry that off.
They dematerialize. Midsection. As Lister, Crichton, and Kat materialize, we see the pest crew seated around a table.
What's this?
Don't you remember, sir? This is a week last Thursday. In a panic, I must have made a programming error.
Okay, listeners. The lower tone means a past character, the higher one means a future one.
For goodness sake, don't you know how rude it is to burst in on an earlier version of yourself without warning? You've made that day totally surreal now. I'm very cross. Pardon my paradox. It's just that the simulant ship you're about to encounter, we don't know what we're about to encounter. Don't compound your temporal faux pas by telling us our future.
Where's the rangy, handsome one?
What, you? You scarpered in that escape pod, you slimy, triple-faced, backstabbing Judas.
Ah, I'm safe then. Thank God for that.
Don't talk to them. You'll see what you've done now. Just get back to your own damn timeline. Here we go then.
Well, be you later.
And Kat dematerialized. Starbuck midsection.
Let's get out of the landing bay. It's gonna blow.
Starbuck takes off from the simulant ship, which then explodes. Cockpit.
All in all, 100% successful trip.
Sir, we lost Mr. Rimmer.
All in all, 100% successful trip.
Can't believe he did that, not even Rimmer.
Sir, I didn't get the opportunity to tell you before, but earlier today I discovered that Mr. Rimmer is suffering from a stress-related nervous disorder.
Next time I see him, he'll be suffering from a fist-related teeth disorder.
The escape pod disappears into the distance. Cockpit.
Incoming message.
Rimmer appears on a monitor, looking rather pleased with himself.
My escape plan worked then.
What escape plan?
The valiant plan whereby I set off the disintegration of the ship's hull by bravely leaping into the escape pod, thereby creating a diversion, so you could... Actually, how did you escape?
Well, the teleporter.
That wasn't the only way, but as good as any, I suppose. Still, I'm sure no one's forgetting the sheer manliness and stiff upper lippedness of the diversionary part of the plan, and to hasten with all speed the recovery of the modest hero of the hour.
Actually, Flash, that might be a bit of a problem.
What do you mean?
You're accelerating away from a stash way above our top speed.
I've locked into your ident computer, sir. Rogue simulants looted the pod from a colonization seeding ship constructed in the 25th century. There are no controls as such. It is programmed to take you to the nearest planet with an S3 atmosphere.
How long is it going to take to get me back?
Ah well, let's see, shall we? Checking the local area. No, nothing there. Going to mid-range. Still nothing. Going to long range. Ah, here we have it, just computing.
Well, how long?
Have you still got those Chinese worry balls, sir?
Yes.
Well, start grinding them like you've never ground before.
How long?
Let me tell him, how long?
A year and a half. That's ridiculous. You've got to find a way of getting me back.
Well, we could try to bring you down with a round from a laser cannon, sir.
Form an orderly queue behind the gunsight.
Another way?
Sir, there are no other options.
Wait, something's happening. Course change.
Check. Your guidance systems found a near S3 planet. It's taking you through that wormhole at 495372.
Ah, that's a lot better. You should make planetfall in 4 days.
Isn't there some kind of a time dilation problem when you go through a wormhole?
Well, yes, there is. Since you're traveling through a compressed space, time will move more swiftly for the object passing through the wormhole. 1 minute on this side of the wormhole will represent many years on the other.
So, is that good?
Paul's on standby, sir.
More than a year and a half?
Yes, sir, a little more.
How much more?
Well, let's not beat around the bush, a lot more.
Crichton, that's still beating around the bush. Just tell me.
Well, remember that medieval war, sir, that lasted quite a long time.
The 30 Years' War?
No, not that war, sir, the other one.
The 100 Years' War?
Now take that figure and multiply it by 6, and then you'll come up with your golden number, sir.
600 years!
Pinch me.
We're losing contact any minute.
600 years with just myself as company, I'll go raving mad.
There's an old cat saying, but you don't want to hear it right now.
On the upside, according to your inventory, the pod's stocked with solar accelerators. That should keep your hard light drive going as long as you need.
And as the pod was looted from a seeding ship, there may even be emergency terraforming equipment on board, possibly even with a genetic capability.
But I'll never survive, I'm not the Robinson Crusoe type. I'm lousy at woodwork, I'm no good in the wild. Do you know, when I was at school it took me 5 terms to make a tent peg? How long's it going to take me to build a 2-story home with running water and a balcony strokes on patio? 600 years! I won't even have finished planing the wood!
Losing contact any second. See you in 8 lifetimes.
One last word, sir. Remember your condition. Whatever happens, try and avoid stressful situations. Whatever befalls you, try and greet it with a smile on your lips and a song in your heart.
You are a total, complete and utter, total, complete and utter total.
The pod enters a wormhole.
Well, he's gone.
So, what do we do now?
Nothing we can do. I know for a fact there's no champagne.
On the side of this time dilation phenomena, it will appear as if Mr. Rimmer has gone for just a few hours, but from Mr. Rimmer's point of view, he will have to wait 6 entire centuries for us to reach him.
To hell with the champagne, we can celebrate with urine resick.
Pod in atmosphere. This is followed by a montage of images following Rimmer's monologue.
This is the personal log of Space Corps Hardlight Hologram Arnold J. Rimmer. Day 1, after landing, I ventured forth to explore the place I would be calling home for the next 2/3 of a millennium. A desert planet, the only life forms the most basic single-celled protozoa, and me. Relationships would be difficult, but not impossible. I returned to the pod, to appraise the supply situation. The pod had indeed been looted from a seeding ship. Among the supplies I found 2 strange devices, labeled eco-accelerator rockets. I held out little hope that they might improve my lot, but launched them anyway. For 6 days and nights the entire planet was racked with storms, the like of which I had never witnessed before or since. Then, just as suddenly, they stopped. In just 6 days I had created my own world, lush and verdant. I had created Rimmerworld. I was Adam, in my own Eden, and only one thing was missing, my own Jane. As I studied the pod's textbooks, my excitement grew. It seemed entirely possible for me to create a fully grown female clone, using my own DNA as a template. This of course created the most enormous moral dilemma. Technically, she would be my sister, and therefore unable to take me as her lover. After much soul-searching, I reluctantly decided, what the hell, I just wouldn't tell her. After months of careful nurture, the cocoon cracked. Something had gone hideously wrong - the clone was just an identical copy of me. I went back to the manuals, and tried again.
Starbuck enters the wormhole. Starbuck cockpit.
There she blows, an S3 planet.
Navicom blocked. Entering atmosphere.
Starbuck in atmosphere.
Got something. Try quadrant 4972. According to the scan, there's life signs.
Confirmed. Thousands of them. Either Mr. Rimmer had the incredible good fortune to land on a populated planet, or...
Or what?
It's too hideous to contemplate.
Preparing to land.
Woodland on Rimmerworld. Lister, Kev and Crichton are seen walking through the woodland.
Wait, nasal alert.
What, are you getting something?
I sure am. My nasal hairs are quivering like an opera singer's bosom on the high notes.
Halt, abomination.
Rimmer.
Silence, travesty.
Rimmer.
Never have I seen such a hideously formed and unnaturally freakish deviant.
Rimmer.
Silence, mutant. How dare you stand there and address a norm using that face? It's a revolting insult against nature.
This might sound like a bit of a corny line, but... Can't even bring myself to say it.
Say what?
Take us to your leader.
Oh, sir, how could you?
Let the Great One judge them.
Throne room. The Rimmer Emperor is seated upon a throne, with concubines at his feet. The back of the throne consists of a large ... sculpted out of a circular piece of stone. Lister, Kev and Crichton are guarded by Rimmer guards.
Who disturbs our royal snooze?
Rimmer. It's us.
Dear Lord, what created such foulness? Is it the product of a marriage twixt woman and gerbil?
Do you remember? 600 years ago, we used to be your shipmates. We've come to save you.
We found them in the woods, your flared nostrilness, and have brought them here to be tried as travesties.
That ain't Gulpus, Dad. He doesn't smell right.
Agreed. He scans as organic, not hologram. The apostrophe is an affectation. Possibly it has become a symbol of power.
These deformed monsters are no sight for my concubines. My treasures of pulchritude, run along. Avert your eyes from her great beauty. Let the trial begin, before my jacuzzi water grows tepid. These three abominations stand charged on 8 counts of gross deviancy. Not content with not looking like the true image, they flaunt freakish behavior such as charm, bravery, compassion, and honor. Are there no signs of normalcy in these wretches? No cowardice or pomposity, no snittiness or smarm, not even basic honest-to-goodness double-dealing two-facetness. Sire, these creatures did not even attempt to sell each other out for their own freedom - they lack even the most basic natural drives. How do you plead?
Sir, we wish to speak to the hologram known as Rumor.
I am he.
Not so. We are seeking the creator of your race, the father of your people, the first true Rumor, the template for your species.
Enough of this heresy. At the stroke of dawn, take them up and kill them. And when you've killed them, burn the bodies, then bring me the cold ashes on a silver plate with a glass of chilled censer.
This guy's an animal. Doesn't he know it's red wine with cold ashes?
Dungeon. Lister.
And
see a figure huddled in a corner under a blanket. He is grinding extremely small worry balls with his fingers.
Rumor.
Smell checks out. That truly is old toilet brush hair himself.
Of course, I remember. Custer. Derek Custer. Kit. Titan.
What's happened to him, bud?
How long have you been in here, sir, in this Gforsaken pit from hell? Speed count mode. 557 years.
What? You've been stuck in this cell all this time?
What happened?
Can you imagine a society composed entirely of me?
I'm trying not to. The last time I did that, it took a week to dry the mattress.
Thousands upon thousands of backstabbing, treacherous, hypocritical, cowardly, slime-mongering Judases. They overthrew me. When they found out they couldn't damage my hard light drive, they locked me in here so I could never threaten their insane lust for power.
Look, bud, I can understand them locking you up, but what have they got against me, Derek and Titan?
Anyone who deviates from the template is reviled. The smallest physical flaw and they're banished from society, and anyone who displays behavior deemed out of character or unrimmer-like is punished by death.
Is that why no one on the planet is brave, sexy, noble, or charming?
All crimes here.
Man. I must be public enemy numbers 1, 2, and 3.
But sir, don't they realize the only way any society can evolve is through mutations in the gene pool? When there is no richness or variety, congenital disorders and inherited lunacy are commonplace. Who can forget the famously insane European monarchies of the 19th and 20th centuries?
Oh, what have I created?
Your very own personal hell.
Well, Funno, it's been hearing about your last 500 years of total misery. Shouldn't we be making skedaddle plans? I for one could not bear the prospect of being burned alive. Flames and peach. Ooh, I'd rather die.
Have you tried escaping, Rimmer?
The whole planet is populated with backstabbing slime balls. The minute I got out, I'd be sold back immediately.
There's got to be a way out. There hasn't been a prison built that could hold Derek Custer. Why don't we scrape away this mortar here, slide one of these bricks out, then using a rope weaved from strands of this hessian, rip up a kind of a pulley system so that when a guard comes in, using it as a tripwire, gets laid out, and we put Rimmer in the guard's uniform, he leads us out, we steal some swords, and fight our way back to the apostrophe bug.
Or we could use the teleporter.
Or, at a pinch, we could use the teleporter.
They dematerialize. Starbuck midsection. As they materialize, we see the future crew, bar the future Lister, sitting at the table.
Oh, I've done it again. 2 anomalies in one day. I must have accidentally tapped into the previous calibration.
Sorry about that, it's just that we're escaping from Rimmer World.
Don't tell them that, they don't want to know the future. Poor old Rimmer doesn't want to know he's going to get persecuted for 6 centuries by a lobe of his own clones.
Careful, bud. For a minute there I thought you were going to let slip that he spends the next 557 years locked in a dungeon.
The higher tone is the future character.
Rumor World.
I'm saying nothing, man. Don't want to spoil the surprise.
Rumor World was weeks ago. We're far more concerned at the moment about the quite hideous thing that's happened to Lister.
He's right, bud. Where are you?
Yeah, where am I? I wanna know.
They dematerialize. The end.